There's an outline on the back of your bulletin that is going to take us through the conclusion of our series of Timothy. One of the things that I'm going to do at the first of next year is actually put an image up here and show you all the books of the Bible that we've walked through verse by verse by verse by verse and talked about. Read today, I'm going to read you the whole chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. January starts, we're going to start at the first chapter of Hebrews, and we're going to walk through Hebrews until we get to the end of that book. Today's 27th day of November, it's called the Final Challenge, and it's 2 Timothy. Now, this is the last letter Paul wrote, and it was written approximately AD 66, 67 from prison. And it's somewhere around that time. Now, these are the last words that Paul writes before he dies. He died because he testified that Jesus Christ is the son of King David, and this Jesus is the son of the one true God. And Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and he is one and the same with the God of all creation. That was his testimony. Now, according to Christian tradition, Paul was beheaded in Rome during the reign of Nero around 60. This is all from Wikipedia, and they guessed 65. By comparison and tradition, Paul being crucified upside down. But because of Paul's Roman citizenship, it was accorded to him a more merciful death of being beheaded. And then right next to it was this picture where the soldier lops off his head and it glows when it bounces off the Roman pavement. Now, all of that is set up to ask you this. Would you lose your head over Jesus Christ? Would you lose your head over him? Now, do you want me to show you a video clip of Afghanistan just a few months ago where a born-again Christian was serving with the United States Army Special Forces, and three of them were captured, and one of them shared his faith with his captors, and they lopped his head off on video. And the other two, they made a prisoner of war exchange for. Would you lose your head over this? They gave us back his body in a body bag, but they kept his head, and they hung it on the door outside the city. When you read the Bible and years ago they did that, the Muslims still do that to us believers. They lop your head off and hang it up as an ornament. They'll give you the body back. Now, you want to see the video? I didn't put it in there. My wife's sitting there, oh, I hope he didn't download that last night when I wasn't looking. Here's the final challenge. Be ready, verses 1 and 2. The big deception, verses 3 and 4. Do your duty. I did mine, Paul said, verses 5 through 7. Goodbye, I'm going home now, is the bulk of what he's talking about. Notice the numerical difference there. And then, be on your guard is the last few verses. But what's important is where he's going. And talking to the people whose names that I can't pronounce, that he's hoping go with him. And he wrote this book hoping you and I would be going with him. So, I read in Ezekiel 33:7 the other day, Son of man, I've made you a watchman for my people. So, hear the words I speak and then give them a warning from me. And I think I sit in the same chair as Ezekiel. As you hear this, listen up. Take it as a warning. Here's what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view and the appearing of the kingdom, I give you this charge. I see a courtroom sitting there. And it's important for you to understand that. And it goes on to say, preach the word, be prepared, in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what they want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. I don't think that was a pun. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all of your duties of your ministry. For I am ready, already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on the day, and not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Mr. D, because of his love for the world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Mr. C has gone to Galatia, and Mr. T has gone to Damalta. Only Luke is left with me, and I can actually pronounce his name. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Mr. T to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with, I guess it's Mr. C at Taurus? How about Troas? And my scrolls, especially the parchments. Oops, sorry, I went too fast. Alexander, the metalworker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. Verse 15. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposes our message. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side, gave me strength, so that though through me the message might be proclaimed to all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. So he got his head taken off rather than fed to the lions, which is a good deal. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Mr. O. Mr. E stayed in Corinth and left Mr. T sick in Malthus. Do your best to get here before winter. Oh, I don't know that guy's name either. Greet you. So does Mr. P, Mr. L, Mr. C, and all the brothers and the sisters. Fortunately, we got to verse 22, and the Lord be with your spirit, and grace be with you all. Howard, would you dim the lights behind me? It's really hard to read that screen since I changed this angle. The final challenge. It's not those lights. Saying? Might be the candles that I'm seeing. Anyway, the final challenge. Be ready. Verses 1 and 2. Now, here's the deal. Are you ready to hear this and obey it? When I wrote that, I could hear the Pharaoh in the Ten Commandments, hear and obey. Remember that? Hear and obey. The Pharaoh got kind of cocky. You know, I think that happens to a lot of us, too. When a preacher says, are you ready to hear this and obey it? They say, phew, you know, like him. Or do you intend to sleep through this warning too? There's a lot of people who do that. They just cruise on through life and they don't pay attention to what the Bible is saying. Here's your first blank. I finally got to point A. In the presence is your blank of God and of Christ Jesus. So in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, B, he will is your blank, judge the living and the dead. C, in view is your blank, view of his appearing and his kingdom. And D, I will give you this charge. Kind of put it on fully automatic there, didn't I? Cracked off a few rounds. Presence, will, view, give you. here's the courtroom scene that Paul is saying. In the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, the guy who will judge the living and the dead really soon, in the view of His coming kingdom, I give you this charge, and here it is. Preach the Word. Now, the half is on there because in Craig and I's study Bible, it says half of the people, that numerically, half of the people that have ever lived are on the planet today. Know what it says down there for 1 and 2? Half of the people that have ever lived are on the planet today, numerically. And you know what? Most of them don't know the Lord. Be prepared in season and out of season. This old Bible, and I've been a lot of places. And as I read through it, I would write sermons to myself. Nobody else was listening, but I'd underline them and I'd write them to myself and I'd try to understand what this said. And when we first went into Christian ministry, Julie and I would try to sneak into a church and a preacher would come up and say, "Hey, Wilmer, you want to bring us a message today?" And I'd say, "Yeah." And Jules would say, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, it said be prepared in season, out of season." What I do is try to correct my life and then I try to help others, so I'll just... Aha! We'll do this today. And almost every page in here, there's red underlining and notes in the margins of what God said to me, and that's what I would say to others. Now, sometimes you got to rebuke them. Sometimes you get to encourage them. But you always get to live with patience, and you have to be careful how you instruct them. I have so many times that people come back and say, "Well, I remember when you said," and I think, "Oh," and Julie will grab it. "What did you say?" Hopefully, most all the time, what I would say is it always starts with love. It's what it's all about. God loves you. And then we love. So, be ready to love other people. And when I say that, it's not just the people you live with. Here's what it says in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came up to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely, I am with you to the end of the age." So it's not just the letter to Timothy that is saying, preach the gospel, be ready in season, out of season, go do all this. It's this soon coming King Jesus. So be ready. There's a big deception going on. And the big deception is involved with I. It's where it always takes place. It's always involved in the I of the situation. To illustrate that, I've been struggling, and it's not a new struggle. It's the same struggle that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. You remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and his wife were there and they had a little fruit snack and then they hid from the Lord, and when the Lord came, you know the first thing that Adam did after he got busted? He said, "Well, it's the woman you gave me. That's the problem." Now mine's a little reversed because my problem is it's the woman that the neurologist and the cancer doctor say you're taking away from me. And I blame him. And then I blame everybody else. But the problem is it's all about me. It's all about I. That's the big deception. Jules, quite possibly, is going to get to heaven before I do. And I don't like being in second place. I've always hated to lose. Anyway, that's my problem. And it's probably the deception you have, too. It's all about me. It's the I problem. Now, here's A on your outline. A time will come, is here now, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. In Ezekiel 34:17, it says, "As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats." So He is going to judge whether you stick close to the right doctrine, to the biblical doctrine. Now, Instead, they go on and they look for their own desires, not the Lord's. They'll gather around them a great number of teachers who will say what their itching ears, ears is your blank B, ears want to hear. And there will be thousands of people who will visit the Crystal Cathedral this morning, and they will listen to something that is not the gospel. And then tonight, there will be thousands of people who will sit down and they will listen to Joel in Texas, and they will just say, oh man, I'd really like to be like Joel and his wife. And that's not the gospel. What those guys are teaching is not biblical doctrine. It's a social gospel that fits with the culture. You can go ahead and listen to it if you want to, but when it comes to the sheep and the goats and you being before the judge of all the end of times, he's going to say, now, didn't I write it to you clearly? What did you not understand? Why did you listen to those guys? Why did you listen to those guys rather than me? So, that's the big deception. Here, you do your duty, I did mine. Verses 5 through 7. Now, it's not my will to be done, but it's yours, Father. That's in quotes. Who did that one? One of my best friends did that, kneeling in a rock in the middle of a field late at night, all alone, just about ready to go through hell on earth. Hey, Dad, Daddy, is there any way, Dad, we don't have to do this deal? Dad, is there any way we can get around me being separated from you? Is there any other way that we can do this other than me separated from you because of their sin? Come on, Dad, there's got to be another angle we can go at this. You know what he came back to with it? His tears were more like blood. Mine are just water. Okay, Dad, not my will, but yours be done. Now, what about you? Are you going to say, well, I am just not quite comfortable with that, you know? Here's A on your outline. Keep your head in all situations. And as I said a little earlier, I don't think that was a pun about the beheading thing. Keep your head in all situations. Keep your cool under fire, Tim. There's going to be a lot of flack coming in here, Timothy. I'm about ready to leave. I'm your mentor. I'm your guide. I'm your hero. They're about ready to take my head off. Now, in the midst of the worst firefight that you can imagine, you keep your head. Because when I leave, all hell is going to come raging in on you. And the devils and the demons are going to do everything they can to stop this gospel. Now, be cool under fire, man. Endure the hardships. It's not always going to be easy. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge your duties, all of your duties in your ministry. See, God always loves. What's your duty? Simple. You love Him, and you love others. Your duty is love. And keep that between your ears. Keep that in your head. And if you keep that between your ears and you're thinking that, it's possibly going to come out of your life. B, I is your first blank, have fought the good fight. I is your second blank, have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Keep fighting. They made a new make of the Three Musketeers. I haven't got to see it yet, but the old one was, it's all for one and it's all for love. And it's a goofy song from a Three Musketeers movie, but that's really it is. It's all for Jesus, and it's all about love. And it's all about that, I fought the good fight. I finished. I did well, as good as I could. I kept the faith. The other day I was looking for something on the shelf in the garage, and a box that I used to be able to handle really easy got away from me and fell on the floor, and it was a Tupperware box that had broken and it strewed stuff all over the garage floor. And I was kind of picking it up the other day when my son-in-law was there, and in this box there were this stuff was in there, and I was showing it to my son-in-law, and I said, "You ever seen anything like that?" 2nd Armored Division, Hell on Wheels. That's the one for your dress uniform. That's one for your green uniform. It's the only uniform in the United States Army that you get to wear the patch right over your heart. Mr. Patton got that done. That's his unit. And when Uncle Chris was younger, I spent several months in Texas in a Bradley fighting vehicle. And they let me wear that. But before they let you pin that on, they set you down for a whole day and explain to you the heritage of being a part of the 2nd Armored Division. We do not run. When they say charge, hang on to something because we're going. We are not quitting. When we run out of gas or diesel, when we run out of gas, we're going to sit there and fire our guns till they're all empty, and then we're climbing out of the tanks, and we're going to give them cold steel. And that's what they teach you before they let you put that patch on. I used to get to wear this one, too. Fell out of the box. This one went on my shoulder, and it's a pair of A's, and it stands for the All-Americans. And before they would let me pin that on my shoulder, I sat there for at least a whole day. Didn't get to eat anything, didn't get to drink anything, didn't get to go to the bathroom. And it was all these cut, handsome, big fellas that stood on stage and explained when the invasion of France took place, that's the first American badge that got dirty. And we will never dishonor that. We will always fight the fight. We will never give up. We will go all the way. Now see, in the Christian faith, they don't do that as well. They don't sit down and say, we will never back off. We will never quit. We are going all the way. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at our ancestors, need to look at our history. And we can't dishonor the unit. It's unthinkable. It is not thinkable for you to dishonor the unit. You die before you dishonor the unit. You die before you leave him behind. But in Christianity, we don't do that as well. Paul says, hey, I've fought it. I've done it. I've done it right up to the end. So now, it's you. But you're probably sitting there in a pew, but you don't understand, woman, right? My family all thought I was crazy when I quit the mill with a good retirement, a pension to become a Christian that lived on support. They just thought that's crazy. But you can do it. I did. All right, we better move on. Goodbye. I'm going home now. A. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Already is your blank. And my time for departure is near. And my time to complete this sermon is near. A drink offering is about a quart or a liter of wine. And each morning and each evening they brought the drink offering. They set it on the tabernacle. You can look it up in Exodus 29:40. And that's what they set on there with bread. And when the morning one was done, then they pour it out. So they take this great wine, pour it out. They'd take this great bread and they'd burn it. And that's what Paul was saying. My time is done. I have set on the table as the Lord's drink offering, but now it's evening and I'm being poured out. Or if you were the evening wine, in the morning you got poured out. But that's what he's saying. I sat on the Lord's table. I did what I was supposed to do. Now I'm being poured out. Just B, there is in store. Store is your blank. And we're not talking about Christmas shopping, but it's spelt the same way. There is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So there is in store for him this crown of righteousness, and there is for other people too. C, not only me, but also all is your blank. All who have longed for his appearing. All who have strived and longed for that day that his kingdom comes. Have you ever worked real hard at a job and you've done the best you could and you watched over your shoulder periodically for the boss to come and say, okay, we're done. Let's go home. You ever done that? You just busted your back pockets as hard as you could go. And the boss comes and says, okay, it's time to go home now. That's what he's talking about. We need to hit it as hard as we can for the kingdom's sake. Preaching the gospel, being ready, in season, out of season, and longing for his appearing. Not just in his returning king, but showing up alongside you like D. The Lord stood at my side, are your three blanks. At my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed to all the Gentiles who might hear. Now, if your outline's a little shorter, all the rest of it's in the Bible. You don't have to write all that down, but I couldn't get it all on one page. See, the Holy Spirit within him, Jesus was at his side. I'm good. Right? You got the Holy Spirit, the power of God within you, and then you got the Lord on your weak side. Or your strong side, as the case may be. I'm good. Let's go. Let's go. People will desert Jesus and you, E on your outline. People will desert Jesus and they'll desert you. So, will you desert Jesus? Will you? He'll never desert you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And even if you do desert, Julie was in a Bible study not long ago, and they were praying for a young man who was AWOL, didn't want to go back and do the Afghanistan thing, and I can't blame him a bit. That's a terrible place to be at war. He was AWOL. He had deserted, and he came back, made his amends, and he's back in Afghanistan now. I mean, they reprimanded him, but they took him back. You know what? Lord Jesus will do that for you too. You can desert and go AWOL. He'll never leave you. He'll take you back. He'll give you a clean uniform, fresh ammo. Let's go at it, man. Let's go back. Let's preach the gospel. Let's do the good deal. Now, goodbye. I'm going home. Be on your guard is point five, the last couple of verses. Be on your guard because people strongly oppose our message. Strongly is your blank. People strongly oppose our message. Probably in our generation, the war against terror, the Muslims that we're fighting, there is, since the Crusades, there hasn't been such a strong battle against our faith. And it's still the same, the Christians against the Muslims. But right now, they strongly oppose, and they will lop your head off if they get the chance. Now, are you going to be one of the ones who cower down and don't mention the fact that they could be saved by grace through Jesus Christ? Or are you going to have the guts to speak the truth and see what God does? Be on the defense. Not one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Here's the bottom line. You always are going to end up alone at the end of this. When it comes to the end of life, when you're laying in that hospital bed, it's pretty much just you. And Jesus, hopefully. May it not be held against them. Paul's got a great attitude. So, final challenge. Be ready. Are you ready? Are you locked and loaded? Are you good? Is there a big deception? Yes, there is. Will you do your duty? I did mine as best I could in every venue of life. Tried the best. Played with some of the best. You know, what about you? Goodbye. I'm going home pretty soon. Some of the people I love are going home sooner than I want them to. Are you coming too? Are you coming with us? And be on your guard. The Lord be with your spirit and grace be with you. God loves people. Paul loves people. We're called to love people. And it's the people you don't even know yet, as well as the people you do know. So, are you ready to hear Jesus' charge and obey? You ready to do that? I was in 29 Palms one time and got a picture taken from a helicopter, and there's this one Bradley fighting vehicle that's way ahead of everybody else. And when they figured out who it was, they said, Sergeant Hauck, what the hell were you doing? I said, well, somebody had to draw their fire. The big boys in the Abrams were right behind me. I figure I had good backing. Somebody's got to be the first one out there to draw their fire, sir. Jonesy says, I knew you were going to get in trouble, Willie. When they say charge, are you going to drop the hammer? Or are you going to be the first one in? Last one out. You going to hold it? You know, what legacy will you leave behind?